This gospel is encouraging to any of us who have ever felt we did not have enough to offer God or an inadequate response to his will. Our Lord tells us what is pleasing to him and what isn't, what is attractive to him and what is repellent. And it's so important that we hear this, because our way of judging things is so often not the way God does, because we can't see the heart, you know. So our Lord teaches us not to judge by superficial appearances. How long ago was this? 25 years ago, I had two cars. One was a new car, and the other one was a really old car that I got from my mother. She had driven it, and I was going to sell it, but then she, for whatever reason, we kept it. It was one of the ugliest cars in Los Angeles, this car. It was, but I loved this car. You know, I had a new car, but I used to drive the old one because it had a ride like you could go over a speed bump or a pothole and you wouldn't even feel it. 5,000 pounds. It was wonderful on the inside. It got 12 miles per gallon city and 14 highway. That was a car. You don't see those around too much anymore. But at some point, my mother had put on a cheap paint job. It was one of those Earl Scheib $29.95 paint jobs, you know, and they didn't even take the wax off, so it was peeling all over the place. White on the outside and gray on the inside. I and a friend of mine named Boris, hello Boris, he's listening wherever he is, or he will be listening. We were on the freeway once, and he reminded me of this story where we were driving down the freeway and the 405, and some lady was stopped in traffic, and some lady gave us the look like, who is this in this hideous car? Another time I pulled into Boris is the only person in L.A. that had a car that was uglier than mine, so we that's why we became friends. Whose car's the ugliest? This car also had a bumper that was sticking up on one end like somebody's crooked smile, you know. One time I pulled into the church parking lot, and I thought Boris's car was there, but I guess not. I pulled up, and some lady got out, you know, and of her car and saw me. She gave my car the up and down look, got back in her car and locked the doors. Well, the car's long gone, but I remember that. I sold it when I went up to the seminary. It would have bankrupted me driving it up to Oregon, you know. But I say that because Christ does not judge by appearances. He judges by what's on the inside, you see. These people couldn't help it. They assumed I was, I don't know what they thought I was, but our Lord doesn't see things this way. Now, he shows us two different people. And Mark has the beginning. It's an optional part of the gospel today. I never leave out the optional gospel. I'd rather cut my remarks short and let the Lord speak. So Mark begins by showing us this scribe. Now, a scribe was a learned person. Obviously, he could read and write, which was not true for a lot of people in that era. He was very learned in the law, so it was their job to help interpret the law. It was a very high executive position. The scribe was wearing a long flowing robe, much more elaborate than what I'm wearing, and what it said to people is, I'm a member of the elite. I do not work with my hands, and I have time to stroll. A garment like this was not practical for working in. You couldn't walk fast in it. You couldn't do manual labor in it. To wear a garment like this during the day meant I have this high position. Take a look at me, how wonderful I am. This kind of an attitude is not only repulsive to God, but it's also repulsive to you and I, isn't it? Have you ever been with people that brag too much? I remember one time one person was bragging many years ago about all the places that they'd been. Oh, I've been here, I've been there. Doesn't that make you nauseated? I sat there for a long time and I said, oh, well, I've been to all those places. Have you been to these? I over-trumped her. Anyway, I only did it once. I didn't tell her I worked for an airline. These people are nauseating. And you know what? Our Lord is nauseated by that sort of thing also. So we don't want to be that way. And he comes up. This is a bit of conjecture, but the gospel invites us to fill in the details. This person comes up and goes to put a tithe in the temple. They used to have these trumpet-shaped things right by the entrance to the temple area, and people had a temple tax they had to pay every year. And so they would go up and put it in there. The scribes and Pharisees would make a big show of putting it in there, not to brag, at least wasn't the reason they gave, but to show people that they're putting their tithe in and everyone else should too. So it's kind of like when we had our tithe thing a few weeks ago. I do one myself, but I don't make a big show of it up here. You know, that's not pleasing to God. So you can see them making a big show of putting their money in and flowing away in their long robes, and everybody's watching this performance, and Jesus is watching. We notice where Jesus sits when he goes to church. Do you notice this? Sits by the collection box, watching people putting money in the box. You know, if you were giving money at the offertory, let's say you have an envelope to put in the collection, and the person next to you says, "Oh, let me take a look and see what the amount is before we put it in there, shall we?" Wouldn't that be offensive to you? Isn't it offensive if somebody asks you in conversation, "By the way, how much do you earn?" We just don't do that. But Christ, and I myself, do not have the slightest idea what you all give. I make a point of not looking at that. I've always done that. But Christ has no such qualms. He is watching. So keep that in mind. You know, I find it interesting. There are no secrets from God. And so he's watching, and here comes this widow. This widow is not dressed in fine clothes. She is extremely poor. She's probably wearing black. And she has a very nondescript appearance. She walks up quietly to make her little donation of 2 cents. 2 cents. She's never going to be, this woman is never going to be on a short donor list when you're doing a capital campaign. You know, they're not going to call her for a donation. She is not going to be sitting in the front seat of a banquet. Nobody cares about her. In fact, when she gives her donation, what she probably did was she took those 2 coins and put them very carefully in this instrument so it wouldn't make noise because it was so little. You know, it was designed to make noise. You could put the money in, but then you couldn't get your hand in to pull it out to thwart thieves, so she probably put her hand way in there. She slips away quietly, unnoticed, except for Christ, who is watching the whole thing silently. And he says to the disciples, "Did you see that widow?" And they probably said, "No." "What widow?" He said, That widow just gave more to the temple tax than everyone else put together. 2 cents. Don't you find that encouraging? I know I do. Christ is satisfied with 2 cents from you and me as long as we've given everything. How often we find ourselves in situations where we don't know what to do or we feel overwhelmed. Haven't you been in a situation? Maybe you're in one now. What does Christ ask us to do? Give him the 2 cents, and he'll make up the difference. That means put your whole heart into it, even if you don't have enough. I can't tell you how many times I've used that principle in my life. The first time it came up, I was praying about 30 years ago at a convention. It was filled with very high-powered priests and nuns and lay people speaking and very charismatic priests that were doing a lot of ministry, and I was praying about becoming a priest. At that time, I was in college, and I thought, I said to God, I said, you've got the wrong person. I don't have any of these talents. I don't have anything to give you. Look at these talent here. So you need somebody with more skill. And I was praying, and I opened my Bible at random, and I found this scripture, and I was reading it, and it was like the Lord said to me not in so many words. He said, "Well, don't you know that all I want from you is your 2 cents worth? You only have 2 cents to give me? Give me that and watch me multiply it." And I've been putting my 2 cents worth in ever since. I I have come back to that moment more times than you would believe. There's just so many things in life that we just don't know what to do. But the Lord expects us to give our all and then come to Him for the rest. And so often, this is what we'll find that Christ is doing. If you find that you've made a commitment to prayer, either in the Adoration Chapel or somewhere else, it's getting tough. You're finding it difficult to sit still. You don't have the feelings you used to have. That's a sign of maturity, by the way, not death in prayer. You give God what you have to give. I'm going to put the time in, Lord. Here's my 2 cents. Let Him multiply the graces. You find yourself in a situation where you have to make a decision. You don't know what to do. God is not answering you. You don't have a clear sign. The Archangel Gabriel has not come down to tell you what to do. What do? You pray about it. You try to discern it. You put it down on several sheets of paper, perhaps. You ask people. When you make the decision, you say, Lord, I'm making this decision. May it be your will. I've tried to discern what's right. Now I'm going to put my whole 2 cents worth of it in there, and I'm going to count on you to do the rest. Please bless my choice. That's one way of doing that. You find that you're overwhelmed with your family. Everybody's sick with the flu. What do? You put your 2 cents worth in. I'm going to do my best for my family, and that's going to have to be enough. You feel inadequate when you're sick. You can't do enough. Put your 2 cents worth in. Try not to complain. And give God that poor offering, even though it's not adequate. When I was hired for the airline, it was really a surprise because I had a math test prior to. They had a whole room full of people taking a math test, and math was not my specialty. And so only 1 in 100 passed the test and got hired. And I was one of the 1 in 100, which is a miracle, like the second coming of Christ. And so something clicked in the last 5 minutes, and I got all the answers right. So anyway, I found myself flying off to Dallas, Texas, where I spent 3 incredibly miserable weeks learning sabers. Anybody know what saber is? Good. Well, you're the only person that's known what saber is. Saber is the computer language that American Airlines uses, and all the airlines had their own. This is before personal computers. So I had to learn this computer language, and I thought I was going to die. It was so difficult for me. I was in a class from 4 p.m. to midnight, and the person in front of me smoked constantly. I actually had to go out and get nauseated at one point between one thing and the other. And I was hired with a bunch of people from Los Angeles, but when they got to the XYZ, they ran out of room, so they stuck me with a bunch of Texans. I didn't know anybody in the class. So anyway, I would have quit except that I didn't want to go home and live with my mother again. So thanks to my mother, I persevered. But our Lord seemed to indicate to me, put your whole heart into this, even though it seems hopeless, and watch me multiply the graces in your life. And so I kept at it. I kept trying. Eventually I got to be one of the, I was extremely proficient with this, and I can still remember how to do it, and it's been 20 years. And our Lord invariably blesses us, especially when we put our whole heart into something, especially when we're inadequate to the job. This is why the reason Christ does this and is so pleased when we do this is precisely because it shows that we can't do it ourselves. It's a good dose of humility to know that you've given your all and are inadequate. This is what is pleasing to God. It's not always a perfect job that he loves the most, but when we try the hardest, even though we may not always succeed, even though we sometimes fail, Christ himself appeared to fail, didn't he, at the end of his life. So our Lord invites us, if you will, to use the 2 cent rule in today's gospel. Whatever you give to me, if you give all that you have, watch me multiply the graces in your life, even if it's only 2 cents.